Welcome to the Closing Market Report for January the 4th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Dave Dickey will be along again in just a moment with all the day's agricultural news, including Iowa Senator Charles Grassley's current view of the 2007 Farm Bill debate and the continuing budget cuts in Washington. And he'll have a quick look at the Brazilian economy's record-setting 2005 export pace. We'll talk, too, with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated. He's out of Kansas City, and that'll happen just after the bottom of the hour. It all happens, of course, on this Wednesday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The March contract, 346 and a quarter, up a quarter. May, up a quarter at 355 and three quarters in the wheat pit. March contract of wheat in the Kansas City Board of Trade, hard red winter wheat pit, 390 and a half, unchanged for the day. Back at the Board of Trade, corn futures finished 218 and a quarter in the March, down a penny and three quarters. The May futures at 227, a penny and a half lower. In July, corn down three quarters today at 235 and a quarter. December futures, 251, off one half. Soy complex in the beans. January futures, 621, up 3.5 cents. March futures up 3.75 at 632 and a quarter. And the May contract at 641 and three quarters, up three for the day. November beans, 648. They were up 2.75 on the day. Bean meal January futures, 195.10, down $3.10. January bean oil at 23.22. Up 26. Mercantile exchange numbers up 50 cents, or rather down 5 cents at 114.22 and a half in the Jan feeder cattle. Live cattle February contract 96.47 and a half. They were a dime higher, and the February lean hogs were down 60 cents at 64.05 a hundredweight.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchanges, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Hi, Paul.
Hi, good afternoon, Todd. Nice to talk to you. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you as well. It's been a while since I've spoken to you. I've got to ask you, what's the trend and is it still your friend?
Well, you know, it doesn't take too much foresight and the market expertise to say that the trend is higher in the major pits in Chicago of corn, soybeans, and wheat. And it has been a very exciting 2 to 3 weeks in the commodity markets, as we've seen basically major bottoms in the corn, soybeans, wheat, and the major rallies in the energy market. And so it's not business as usual. It's kind of an exciting time to be in the commodity business at this particular time.
This is rather interesting in the face of 2.4 billion bushel carryover for the corn, 405 million bushel carryover for the soybeans, and we still managed to rally. Is everybody just thinking USDA is going to come out with a big surprise on January the 12th?
You know, I don't think that has anything to do with the price of eggs right now. And, you know, there's knowledgeable people in the fundamental school of analysis that feels that we could even err by having larger corn and soybean production. We could also see smaller carryover, larger carryover numbers in corn and soybeans. A couple things that's happening is we are seeing, of course, the energy rally. We are also seeing gold and silver rally. The index funds are making their annual pilgrimage to the commodity futures exchanges and buying large volumes of commodities. And, you know, we know that the RSI levels are indicating, you know, wheat as of this morning was 71 on the 9-day, corn at 71 on the 9-day, and soybeans at 67. And we do know that open interest would say that, hey, it's getting very large as far as being, ownership, particularly in corn. So, you know, all those add up from a technical point of view as a kind of overbought, but the market still remains extremely strong.
Let me do some clarification. Do you think, was it your thought that my question didn't have anything to do with the price of eggs, or was it that the fundamentals didn't have anything to do with it? And I don't
care
which one
it is. You know, I think
the
fundamentals at this time with what the USDA doesn't have really anything to do with the price levels as of today.
Yeah, so the question then is, and you mentioned this in some respects, is this an inflationary-driven rally?
You know, in some commodities, in some commodities, the answer is yes, and the other commodities, I think, are just being drug along because, you know, one thing we're asking, you know, the question from the country elevator sources is the percent sold more than was last year, or is it the same or smaller? And as a general rule, the amount of grain sold is smaller in corn and soybeans than a year ago. So the farmer is very tight-fisted as far as selling his corn and beans. And I think you like to focus on what we see the farmer thinking and also the market perception. And what the farmer is basically thinking is that the inputs and the actual price that the farmer is receiving on corn and soybeans and wheat isn't really reflective of the true costs of planting and farming costs and the cost price squeeze. And, you know, the question in my mind, you know, from a very bigger perspective in the world, I'm not too sure that a year or 2 years from now that problem isn't going to be solved. So that's one of those things that you need to ask the think tank people over at the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Economics there.
Sure.
To really kind of sort out. But I don't think anybody out here is really looking for a really quick fix to that cost price squeeze.
Now, this would be relatively unprecedented, but it seems to me that what you're telling me that is that farmers are tight holders of both corn and soybeans, and they simply collectively, and farmers don't generally do things collectively, but they must have all come into the same boat, and I can see this happening, decided that the price of corn and soybeans simply is not high enough given their input cost, and they're not willing sellers at all at these levels, so they're going to
they're selling some, and some historic selling, some selling, some percent selling. But as a general rule, we don't see the highways being burned up by a lot of grain movement. We don't see it on the individual locations where there's a lot of movement. You know, it's a little soft out in the country, the roads and the farm lots and things like that to be hauling a lot of grain anyway. But the other factor here that I think that needs to be brought up is that some of the major problems, as you mentioned, hasn't been solved. You know, the big carryover numbers, the transportation costs and movement ability to move grain, and also that word world demand. We're not seeing a lot of world demand come in here. It's just average demand.
Given all of that, would you be a contrarian if you were a farmer at this point? You do farm, so would you be a contrarian and sell cash grain?
You know, I think that, yes, I would. And that answer is easy, and we're in complete agreement on that. I'd be a little more of a, as you mentioned, a contrarian and push yourself a little harder. One of the things that is very concerning to me is that some of these very high-priced think tank people are very bearish longer term on soybeans and just where that bubble is going to come in. And, of course, at some point in time, we're going to end up with a very large carryover in corn. And, the ability to move that corn and soybeans with the transportation bottlenecks we have in this country and the lack of a major surprise demand other than a drought, you know, it's a major bottleneck. So, yes, we would move some grain at these higher prices and reward the market. But at this time, we don't really see any major move by the marketer to do that.
I want to get back to maybe another nuts and bolts kind of question here, and I don't know whether you will have made the phone calls and have the answer to this just yet. Of course, Katrina and the hurricane season did a number on the export market to begin with and our ability to transport grain from one place in this country to other countries, and certainly from one place in this country to other parts of the country as
That's
well.
Right.
Has that been fleshed out completely? And I suppose the question goes back to John Bondurant was talking at one point, and I think you were on that particular Commodity Week, about having a 50 or 60 cent over basis level in Memphis. And so I'm wondering whether the cash prices will spike, in your opinion, in parts of the country as need develops, and if that might come because transportation is not available.
We're not seeing that yet. We are seeing some river costs come down, but we're not seeing the some of the costs at the train stations. You know, which is going to cause which transportation system to get cheaper? You know, my opinion is it'll be the barge, and that'll cause the rail freight to get cheaper at some point in time. People don't think that that's going to be a major drop here anytime soon. The second thing is, there is this philosophy out to, you know, what can a farmer do control these major problems with transportation and these big crops in the end? And, of course, the bottom line is, build more storage and not necessarily temporary storage with a tarp on it. So, you know, that's the major factor. And, of course, the evolution with more ethanol energy is going to take care of some of the transportation problems. But, you know, this is a 2 to 3 year major problem that is either going to take major expenditures in rail cars or barges or more engines to move the freight or major monumental decisions by the freight industry to move this bigger mountain of corn, soybeans, and wheat into the world market.
Paul Koulias is an advocate of putting up more storage. How do you hedge your cost for fuel?
Well, we have been a big advocate, Todd, of this new E-mini crude oil contract. It's 500 barrels. The margin requirement's about $2,500. It's a computer-traded item. It equates to about 22,000 gallons of diesel fuel or gasoline, and it's something that's very good to trade. It's a short-term tool, so you know that's one thing. And the other thing that we noticed is that we have a new player that's using some old tactics. The Russian, have shut off some of the natural gas to Ukraine and Europe, and you know they're saying gas isn't going to be as cheap anymore. They used to be a major exporter of cheap anhydrous and cheap fertilizers, and and they're also a major exporter of crude oil. So Russia is going to flex their muscles, and that's one reason why we saw the crude oil yesterday, jump over to the $63 mark. So it's $63.30 today. So you know, this is a new game that we're seeing by another player of and why it's so important for you to be a hedger and a buyer and lock in your energy use.
Thanks, Paul. We appreciate it. Always fun to talk to you, usually insightful, too. We appreciate it a lot.
Well, it's always fun to be with you, Todd, and Happy New Year.
You too. Paul Koulias with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Wednesday mornings. He's on the Opening Market Report on Wednesday mornings and the Closing Market Report on Wednesday afternoons.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
Hey, did you see that the National Corn Growers Association had announced its winners in the corn yield contest here in the Midwest on non-irrigated soils? AA 34N42, a Pioneer number one at 323 out of Bagley, Wisconsin, Mesra Farms there. Francis Childs, by the way, came in second this year. Last year, of course, he was disqualified at 320 bushels to the acre. He used a Pioneer number as well, 35Y62. That got me to thinking, how come the Pioneer numbers were up there at the top? And I wanted to check. So I pulled all of the state figures and was able to do a quick look, but I'm not sure that these are all right, but they're pretty darn close. So I took a look to see how it was divvied up. And I don't know how many people actually entered the contest across the nation, but this is a quick look at some of the numbers. Pioneer had, of those who entered, 1,022 used a Pioneer number, 300 used DeKalb, 25 Asgro, 98 Garst, NK Brand 18, Agrigold 9, Great Lakes 52, Crows 20, Micogen 8, Golden Harvest had 11 entries, and Campbell Seeds had 15. In just a few moments, we'll talk with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain, and we'll take a look at the weather forecast as well a little bit later. That with Drew Lerner. And speaking of that, Mike's Sola forecast for this evening looks like this. He says, mostly cloudy skies, patchy drizzle in central sections across the two-state region. Some scattered flurries in the north. Lows will range this evening, says Mike Sola, from 28 in northern Illinois to 36 in the far southern parts of Indiana. Tomorrow, Mike says, cloudy skies, cooler snow flurries possible in northern and central sections. Highs will range, says Mike, from 32 in northwestern Illinois to 42 in southern Indiana. The extended forecast Friday, partly to mostly cloudy, a chance of some flurries ending early in the Illinois, continuing through the day in Indiana. And Saturday, it will be partly sunny. Sunday in the north, mostly cloudy. Dave Dickey is here now with a look at today's agricultural news. This is the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
In agricultural news, Iowa Senator Charles Grassley says political squabbling centered on potential cuts to U.S. farm programs could slow progress on a 2007 farm bill. When the Senate returns to work next week, Grassley said it will face a bevy of issues that are likely to put agriculture on the back burner until at least spring. And at the top of the list may be another round of budget cutting for 2007. Grassley says if President Bush asks Congress for additional cuts, it should deliver.
When the president says that he's going to suggest next year to continue down that road, we've got to continue down the road of saving one-third of 1% for several years if we're going to get our budget under control.
And while it may seem counterintuitive, Grassley says that increase in tax revenues is the result of the tax cuts Congress passed in 2003. And Grassley says if you don't believe him, then take the word of outgoing Federal Reserve Board Chairman Alan Greenspan.
Chairman Greenspan said very clearly a few months ago that the tax cuts of 2003 are responsible for the vibrant economic growth that we're having now, bringing in that $240 billion more this year than last year and keeping employment high at about 5 million more jobs created in 2.5 years.
When the Senate returns from recess later this month, it is scheduled to debate the possible renewal of the Patriot Act, conduct confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito, consider legislation dealing with asbestos lawsuits, and hammer out the 2007 federal budget. New figures compiled by the Brazilian Center for Foreign Trade Studies show that Brazil's trade surplus in 2005 was a record high $44.7 billion, up 33% from 2004, which was the previous record. Brazil's overall exports hit a record high for the fifth consecutive year, reaching $118.3 billion in 2005. Of that amount, $22.7 billion went to the U.S., Brazil's largest export market. The Minnesota Department of Commerce has issued a 21-day suspension of the state's three-month-old mandate on requiring the use of biodiesel following allegations that the soybean-based fuel may be clogging fuel filters, especially in the colder weather. According to a survey conducted by the Minnesota Trucking Association, 62% of 90 fleets said they had experienced fuel filter plugging. Moreover, of that number, 66% experienced repeated plugging on the same truck. Kristen Duncanson is a Minnesota farmer who chairs the state's biodiesel task force.
It is something that we're trying to take care of. We want to be responsible. It's a hiccup in the road of an introduction of this product, but we're working diligently for the Center for Diesel Research at the university here, as well as with the National Biodiesel Board, independent labs throughout the country, to get out at the problem and to get it fixed so we can roll we can roll at levels that are beneficial to all those concerned.
The temporary suspension of the fuel's use expires on January 13th. Duncanson says the work done so far has identified excessive glycerin in soy biodiesel as one culprit in the fuel filter clogging problem. She says biodiesel processors can fix that easily. USDA's Farm Service Agency on Monday issued its January interest rates for CCC loans. The interest rate for 1995 and prior crop years is unchanged for January at 4.375%. For 1996 and subsequent crop year commodity and marketing assistance loans, the interest rate issued in January is 5.375%. That's also unchanged from December. The director of public policy for the National Corn Growers Association says temporary cuts in natural gas supplies from Russia to Ukraine and Western Europe signals more energy insecurity for the U.S. Samantha Slater says as more and more U.S. fertilizer plants are mothballed due to high domestic gas costs, the U.S. will have to import more for now. And that, according to Slater, is not easy.
At about 25% right now. But you have to keep in mind, too, that there aren't that many terminals to accept those imports of fertilizer. So it's not as easy as it seems. You can't just bring it in where it's made more cheaply with cheap natural gas in Russia and Saudi Arabia. It's not as easy as it sounds.
Slater says that means building more terminals to import increasingly expensive foreign fertilizer versus domestic product, now over $500 a ton, and headed to maybe $600 by spring. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on AM 580. We're joined now to take a look at the cash grain market by Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Kay.
Good afternoon to you, Todd.
Farmers taking advantage of the recent price hikes in corn and beans?
Yes. It's been very, very busy around here the last week, and they're selling cash spring months and new crop months. So, yes, it's been very busy here.
And any of those naysayers out there waiting for higher prices still?
You always do have those. I mean, there's just a lot of them that come in here and they pay me to pick the top, you know, that's kind of the way it goes, and they want to know where it's going to top out, there's always the people have a little trouble making up their mind, but basically speaking, the guys have been really good about taking advantage of this, and they're getting some decent new crop prices, so yeah, it's been nice.
I bet you have been telling them to do that as well, to take advantage. Tell me about the new crop prices, in fact.
We are considerably higher than we were a year ago. I don't know. I didn't, you know, check last year, but I know that we were around 525 on new crop beans and just barely over 2 in corn. So the bean prices probably look a little bit more attractive versus last year than the corn does. But if we have a lot more bean acres and we do end up with a pretty big carryout, then these prices are going to look awfully darn good later on down the road.
And what does Kay Whitlock's assessment of the current rally?
Well, here again, it's all technical, and I don't trust technical rallies. And if the big guns come in there, we could run it on up a little bit. But if they fail to do so, then one of these days you won't be able to get out of the way.
And your prices for the day are?
All right. Cash corn is 201, cash beans are 606, and new crop wheat today is 340.
Okay, we appreciate it much.
Thank you, Todd.
Kay Whitlock with Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana, joins us here on Wednesday afternoons. In about 2 minutes, I'll take a look at the agriculture weather with meteorologist Drew Lerner. Your local newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. This just in from the Associated Press, Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon has been rushed to a hospital, and Israeli media report he apparently suffered another stroke. Sharon had been scheduled to undergo surgery tomorrow to repair a small hole in his heart, an operation that doctors said would prevent a stroke similar to the one he suffered recently. Sharon's office says his doctor is with him and he's fully conscious. We expect to have more details on this story with the BBC newscast at 3:01 p.m. here on AM 580. Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois says he'll give any campaign contributions he's received from lobbyist Jack Abraham's clients to charity. Abrahoff Abrahoff pleaded guilty yesterday to conspiracy, tax evasion and mail fraud and entered another guilty plea today. Durbin says his staff has found at least $8,000 in campaign contributions from Indian tribes that may have been affiliated with Abrahoff. House Speaker Dennis Hastert of Illinois said he's received more than $100,000 from Abrahoff and his clients, and he'll give that money away. Members of the Indiana House of Representatives opened their short legislative session today with two informal prayers. The prayers in the back of the House floor were an attempt to comply with a federal court order banning lawmakers from beginning their business days with overtly Christian prayers. The University of Illinois' Flash Economic Index measured 104.4 in December, up just 0.2 of a point from the month before. Any reading on the index above 100 indicates economic growth. Economist Fred Gertz says a just average holiday shopping season contributed to the slow increase in the rate of growth. Chicago Mayor Richard Daley says he plans to form a committee to explore the possibility of bidding for the 2016 Summer Olympics. Daley says he wants the committee to explore whether Chicago would benefit from the Olympics even after the Games were over. And he says Illinois might team up with nearby states such as Wisconsin and Indiana to suggest a regional effort to bring the Olympics to Chicago. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580. We're joined now to take a look at the agricultural weather by Drew Lerner, the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It has been a very warm start to January of 2006. Can we expect more?
Actually, I think we can after a brief little break. We have to see a little bit of reality here. It looks like for the next few days we'll trend cooler, but it's not going to be bitterly cold. And it looks like we will turn around and warm back up again as we go into the latter half of the weekend and on into next week. Actually, the bias for the next few weeks is probably going to continue to be warmer than usual. That doesn't mean that we're not going to have any cold snaps like what we'll have over the next two or three days. But I don't think the trend right now is going to support any prolonged period of cold weather. So that may be beneficial for some of us and maybe not so great for others, but I think the bottom line is that we'll have to wait until we get closer to spring for weather to become a little bit more wild again.
It may make moving grain out of the countryside a little tough, especially if those blacktops and some of the back roads bottom out and are a little soft. Let's talk about other places that's a little tough to move crops around, Argentina and Brazil. Brazil in particular, kind of tough to move a crop around. What kind of weather have they had? We've talked about dry conditions. Is that pretty normal for them at this time?
Well, it seems like it's become that way the last 3 years, but in reality it's not. Brazil is normally a fairly wet place, and rain usually falls in abundance. It is plenty wet in central and northern parts of the country, and there is a considerable amount of mud issue up there. They've had some periodic flooding every once in a while, but really the situation in those central and northern portions of the country have not been bad at all. The drier bias in southern Brazil has been restricted to small portions of the country. I think it's been given an awful lot of attention, but reality is that relative to the entire nation's crop, the percentage of the grain and oil seed that is being impacted by dryness right now is really quite small, and the country in general is in great shape. And the production year is likely to come off looking pretty good. And of course, that depends on exactly what happens over the next few weeks. And there may still be a little bit of a drier bias in southern portions of Brazil, so it's not a sure thing at this point in time. We do have a little bit of a ridge of high pressure that's over southern Brazil right now that's going to keep them dry and allow temperatures to start warming above average for the next few days. So a pretty significant dry down will take place for about a week, and then we'll start seeing shower and thunderstorm activity return again.
So the Brazilian bean crop was off to a very good start at planting, continues to be that way, relatively speaking, at this point. The Argentine corn crop, give me 30 seconds.
The Argentina corn crop stressed right now, certainly in unirrigated areas and portions of the country. I'd say probably a good 35 to 40% of the nation is being stressed pretty significantly right now. The forecast is for hot and dry conditions through the weekend, and then looks like next week we'll start seeing shower and thunderstorm activity building up across the area, offering some break.
We appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. He joined us here on AM580's Closing Market Report on Wednesday afternoons. If you didn't catch everything you wanted this afternoon, you can always pick it up off our website or the podcast. Just visit WILL.UIUC.edu, click on AM, and then Agriculture. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.